So last week on the intro, you missed the piece. You didn't add on the Tom Green piece where he's all crazy about talking about getting the microphones ready.
This Tom Green piece?
What the heck are you guys doing?
We were getting the microphones plugged in, checking the audio levels and things like that.
Are you tired of being a hamster on a wheel to nowhere?
Yes!
But then you're supposed to add on the Benny... Then you have to add on the Benny Hill thing.
Oh, you mean this Benny Hill thing?
That's the thing, but I want you to add the two together so then it's more powerful.
Oh, so you mean something like this.
What the heck are you guys doing?
We were getting the microphones plugged in, checking the audio levels and things like that.
Are you tired of being a hamster on a wheel to nowhere?
Yes!
Yeah, something like that. You jumped the gun a little, but it was good.
Little happy finger there.
What about the... Can you add that off the top?
I can...
It's dicey?
I'll work the magic.
All right. It's a show, episode 5.
Yes, that is correct. Welcome to episode 5 of It's a Show on iTunes.
I remember, harken back to the episode when we met our original goal of getting 50 subscribers for one episode, and we broke open your Havana Club rum, and then you brought this out of the gift package, and I just realized, I put two and two together, that this is a Havana Club, like a...
It's very smart.
I was thinking it was like a miniature baseball bat, but it's a Havana Club.
Havana Club. I still think it's to something to do with the mint.
Something to do with the pounding the mint?
I think so. Okay. Maybe you don't pound mints. I don't
I've never had pounded mints, so I'm not that type of guy.
The mojitos? No, do not drink them.
Don't start that again. This week on the show, in the second half, boy, do we have a treat for you.
We've got a very special guest. I'm very excited because he is an icon, a Canadian icon. He might as well be in charge of the whole country. He's that powerful and superb.
Rob Ford joins us in the second half.
Ladies and gentlemen, we did it.
We did it.
No, we did not.
It's not Rob Ford. It's someone even better. He drinks a bit too, I'm sure, but no, he doesn't drink at all. He's
at all? Did you ask this question?
I didn't. So that
would have been an interesting thing.
I should have asked that. Now I feel bad about the interview that's already pre-taped.
Maybe now he's retired, he indulges maybe a little more.
I don't think he's semi-retired.
Casually.
I'll tell you one thing. The man does speak, I can't remember if it's 7 or 9 languages. This is the type of higher intellect that we are dealing with on episode 5 of It's a Show. Can we keep up? Tune in and find out. Second half.
You want my honest opinion?
The week's been hard on us because where we live in this part of the world, snowpocalypse hit us hard. Huge. You think Sharknado was tough on... Snowpocalypse buries the sharks.
Two things. I don't even know what Sharknado is. I never did when it happened. You investigate?
Well, I haven't seen it either, but I just know what the kids talk about. I got my finger on the pulse.
And I can just tell you, in this region, we are the snow capital
of the world.
We have to be.
Yeah.
Where are we going to, heaven forbid, if it turns sunny and 75 tomorrow, we're going to be swimming in it if it ever were to melt.
Would it be offensive to our vast listenership to give the finger to the snow and then take a picture of it for the Facebook? Like, just, you know, I don't know. That's what I feel like doing.
I don't mind the snow. Once the streets are going to get plowed and cleared, here's the thing. The city's finally going to do that in the neighborhoods. However, because the cars are stuck, they're being delayed and things are being pushed back. What was supposed to take 3 days to plow every neighborhood, which likely
it's a big city, 100,000 people.
Now is going to take 8 days, and who knows when my neighborhood's going to get plowed, and it's like driving on the moon out there.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I got stuck in my own street. I had a premonition it would happen, because when I left, I barely made it out alive out of my neighborhood, and I thought, this is going to be bad when I come home later on today. I'm not going to be able to get back in. What happened? I spin out, and an old guy comes behind me, thankfully. And he's like, wear no toque or nothing, and the wind chill will rip your human flesh right off in 2 seconds. And he starts barking orders on how I'm supposed to drive and all that. Like,
of course.
And then my son is there shoveling the driveway so I can have some place to get the car into. He's 14, he comes over. And so he's pushing, my neighbor Stephanie's pushing, and then I got two random strange girls that I've never met before pushing, and the old guy. And the old guy's barking the orders. So we finally get out, and I get back into the, well, actually drove into my neighbor's driveway because I couldn't make it all the way to mine. And Sawyer, we go in the house, and Sawyer goes, that man was pretty stern. And I go, he's a grandpa. That's how they roll.
that's what they
sound like.
Was it this little car that got stuck in the snow?
Yeah.
The little white Pontiac?
Pontiac G5, baby.
Look at that. Took five people?
Don't tell people I drive a white car. My nephews already make fun of me. You got a nice black one, and I got a white one.
I'll tell you something. The snow...
Not that I'm racist against car colors, but I don't prefer white.
The snow totals, according to the mayor who tweeted yesterday...
Brutal.
Like, we'll round up because it's 0.1 centimeter off.
80.
Since when did the first snowfall happen? Mid-November?
Generally at this time of year, 15 centimeters.
Oh, it's off the charts.
We got to translate that to American for the San Jose crowd.
That's right.
And we got 8 downloads in San Jose. Hey, you did the new stats, but you never checked on San Jose.
They're still there.
Yeah.
We're big. Here's the thing. When we click on the map and the stats, it I think has something to do with where the main server is hosted.
Oh.
Because we're huge in Winnipeg.
We're huge in Winnipeg too now.
So I don't know if
that's where the Western Canada Lottery Corporation is. So they probably got nothing to do during the week and then just listening to the podcast.
Did you buy your ticket?
Yeah. I don't. Do you buy tickets regularly?
I don't.
I don't either.
Because
once in a while, if I get an itchy left hand, which is supposed to be the indicator of wealth,
yeah,
precursor to wealth, then I do it. Otherwise, I don't do it.
I know my dad is big on the lottery. He will. I don't know if he does the quick picks or if he picks his own numbers.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's got a method.
That'd be interesting to ask him. We should phone him.
He'll have like tickets from months ago that he, I don't know if he's checked online or he hasn't bothered to go down to the kiosk, but
right,
he could be a millionaire. He doesn't even know it.
Seriously, man, that's not good. You go.
And he needs the money.
How do you feel about the tweeting sound when you go check or chirp chirp or whatever it is when you go check your tickets now? You put them in there and they go, tick, like, is it a laugh or what the hell is it? I don't know. I don't go often enough, but there's some sound comes out of there.
I didn't know it made a sound.
Oh, we got to do an experiment. We'll take the iPhone and go buy a ticket. And then because they win $2, then we'll hear the.
Yeah. Oh, I know when you win, it goes, woohoo.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Woohoo.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. Woohoo.
That's what I meant. I used to work in retail and I don't know how this was probably 15 years ago.
Where did you work in retail?
Sobeys. Nice. Back home.
That's not retail. That's grocery.
Grocery store.
Is that retail?
Grocery store retail.
Retail is selling underwears.
No, retail is grocery store. It's a retail store.
I don't buy. You'd like to argue. I beg the difference.
Oh, well.
Groceries is groceries. Well,
there's your Twitter topic right there.
Yeah.
Groceries or
is it retail or is it not retail?
Hashtag
hash browns.
We had the lotto kiosk, the lotto machine. This was the old school machine where we had to have the humongous rolls of paper. Like it almost looked like a giant toilet paper roll.
Okay, circa early 90s this would have been?
No.
Early
2000s.
Oh, okay.
So not that long ago.
Yeah.
This is before what they look like now. This is the old school, old school. And we always would have paper jams because that stupid thing with the huge ass roll.
Yeah.
And maybe 3 to a box. They were that big and it was, but now they make noises. It tells you on the screen how much.
Yeah.
It's a big production.
Yeah. And people make a lot of money selling those things to retailers.
Well, they do.
And grocery
yes.
people.
Yeah.
Cause there's the difference.
I love the scratchies. my favorite.
You want to talk old school tills? Back in the day, my dad he managed the Husky Oil bulk plant in Saskatoon. Mm-hmm. He would always have me over there because back in the day, and fathers would have to, or sons would have to be with their fathers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just so that we would die a slow, boring death. And the only thing interesting, it was kind of interesting. It was a lived-in kind of shop or whatever. And they had these catwalks around the bulk tanks. So you would climb up there and be really high. And I'd get to ride with dad in the Mack truck semi sometimes. That was cool. But when you're sitting around the office, there's nothing to do. It just kind of smells like oil.
Exactly.
And old guys named Wilf are coming in and out. And
Wilf.
Wilf. That's an old school
name. Very old school.
And the till that my dad would use, Big Al, it had a red button on the side. And I'd always ask him, Dad, what is the red button for? Because I'm thinking, you know, my imagination, it's a red button when you're 6 years old. That could mean anything.
Yeah.
He said, well, that's to make little boys ask questions, Greggy. Never knew to this day. Don't know what the
still don't
hell
know,
that
hey?
Stupid red button does.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I've got a dad story from when grocery stores, at least in the small town we used to live in for a couple of years, not even 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Grocery stores were closed on Sundays.
Right.
Everything was
awesome.
Closed on Sundays back in the day. And dad would have to sometimes go in. I don't know what he was doing, but small grocery store, not these giant
chains.
That, it was a co-op, but
evil
a small,
box store.
Yeah. Small, yeah. small.
Screw you, evil box stores.
Tiny small town grocery
where I
store.
I save a lot of money and shit.
My brother, sister, and I, because dad's single parent, he can't leave us at home. So we would go along with dad. Dad would do his thing in the butcher shop. He was a meat cutter. So he would do his thing in the cold room. We would go run around the grocery floor.
That's awesome.
With the lights off.
Yeah.
And play hide and seek.
Oh, cool.
My brother would hide always behind the paper towel and the toilet paper.
Predictable.
Put it out. Crawl on the shelf and then put it back.
It's genius, actually.
Hide behind it. So
yeah, the first time is genius.
I remember we were never allowed to go near the front window.
Yeah.
Because you don't want the bystanders to be looking in and be like, those kids are playing around in the co-op.
That is so awesome, though.
But those are good times. We would always have races with the grocery carts and up and down the aisles. Oh,
butcher has got to be one of the hardest jobs in the world. Because you're always freezing. You're always got to do that in the cold and stuff. And you really... Like, I took a meat cutting course when I went to ag college, and it's not as easy as it appears, right? Like, you've got to know what you're doing.
You need to know. Yeah. And I think it's a lot more simpler now because I think a lot of the meat comes already not assembled.
Quartered.
But like, pre-box. This is, you know what you're getting in this box. You don't have to kind of, like, chop away an actual cow.
Yeah.
But lots of memories of dad coming home with, like, some hamburger on his shoe. We're like, you brought some... extras.
And you got the grossness on the shoe again. Oh no. He must be tough. He must have strong hands and stuff.
He's got the working man hands.
Yeah.
And he'll comment on my soft keyboard hands.
Yeah.
My soft radio hands. I'm like, really? It's 2013.
Sorry, Dad.
Paper cuts is the only thing I get on my hands, if anything.
Yeah. So Big Al used to, like, he's shrunk now, like most fathers eventually do, but he had the big mitts and the huge forearms. And I got toothpick forearms.
Yeah.
And I'd always ask Dad, I go, like, how do you get the forearms like this? Because, you know, when you're in high school, it's all about the arms. You want to have some arms. And he's driving tractors. And, like, back in the day, their first tractor on the farm was a Cat.
Yeah.
Like a Caterpillar
tractor. Oh, yeah.
With tracks and stuff. And it was all levers, right?
Right.
So, and then there was no such thing as power steering for years and years and years. So everything he did was manual and he just burped. It blew up like Popeye. Huge.
Makes complete sense.
Yeah.
A lot easier these days, that's for sure. I went back recently to help cut down trees and do some yard work in the country. And, oh, man, I am not fit. That's not me.
And you got to be tough.
And
I was just saying today, earlier, that I think I'm toughening up already with this transition of the weather, because the first time I was shoveling in this snowpocalypse with the wind chill, I was like crying like a little baby. And then last night, I'm out there for an hour, and it, like the first 10 minutes, I'm going, this sucks. And then I didn't even think about it, and I started to enjoy it. I go, what am I?
You're embracing your elements, the elements, the environment.
We adapt.
That's right. That's what we do.
You were talking about cutting down trees there, Spark. Does your family tradition involve cutting a real tree for Christmas?
We, I think, had a real tree once in all my 28 years of Christmases.
Really?
I don't know why.
You lived in the boons.
Well, now Dad's got this 10 acres of mostly trees.
Yeah.
He's got a selection of plenty. And there's even a couple beauties right in the ditch there.
He's a tree hugger. He doesn't want to cut them down.
I should ask.
I think there's schools of thought for both sides. I'm a proponent of the real tree just because that's part of Christmas for me. And my dad always did. And don't get me wrong. They weren't always beautiful, symmetrical trees. There was some Charlie Brown years when things were lean. I really enjoyed the process the same, though, because the smell was there. We'd go out and get it together, and you'd see Dad haggle and all that kind of stuff. And I remember moving to Toronto. Therese and I moved to Toronto back in the 90s, early 90s there, and went to get my first tree when we were in High Park. And I go to the tree lot and stuff, and the guy goes, "Wow, it'll be $60. And I go, "It'll be pardon?" I go, I mean, we never paid more than $20 for a tree my whole life.
Yeah.
$60? Are you for real?
Wow.
And that threw me for a loop. But now, I mean, things are really expensive.
Yeah.
The local basketball, college basketball team has a fundraiser now where they will deliver the tree to your house or whatever, and it's between $65 and $85.
Yeah, those things aren't cheap.
Yeah.
Money doesn't grow on trees. I thought there was a pun there somewhere, but...
good one. Oh, and by the way, I want to say thank you for decorating our set.
Speaking of trees,
spared no expense here.
Got a fake one around the corner.
Oh, good.
You haven't seen it
because you tree up.
You haven't ventured that far yet.
Well, okay. So on the Facebook page this week, look forward to a picture of Spark's tree.
Yeah.
Decorated with TLC. and our microphone stands featuring our beautiful brand new Audio-Technica AT2035s microphones are all wrapped with garland or tinsel or whatever it's called.
Yeah. And we got a little countdown to Christmas.
Countdown to Christmas guy.
As of this moment, as of right now, it's 21 days.
I want to call this guy Rocky because his nose is smushed against his face. His carrot nose is smashed.
Yeah, poor guy, eh?
Yeah.
I love Christmas.
Let's call him Rocky. 21 days.
Did you survive Black Friday last week? Any big deals? Any elbow to the faces?
You know what we were going to do? Because I am not stupid. I'm not going out on Black Friday.
It's ridiculous.
Not that everyone who went was stupid, but I'm saying it's not for me.
Yeah.
On Cyber Monday, we were supposed to browse for a gift for someone in my family and forgot all about it.
Oh, no.
So missed opportunity there. You think that Cyber Monday thing is a scam too? Like where they just go, yeah, you can have this 52-inch TV for $11. Oh, and then you click on it and they go, oh, sorry, we're sold out.
There's got to be, yeah.
It's got to be some kind of scam.
I don't buy into this whole big deal shopping business because, A, too many people, too many crowds.
Yeah.
Am I really saving? Really?
I thought you went out. Didn't you go out?
Well, on Black Friday, I went to the most hallowed places on planet Earth, the dentist. And I got myself a cleaning. So here I am enjoying.
Let me see. When you get older, yours are pretty good, but when I get a cleaning, I don't even notice the difference anymore. There's so much coffee and booze on here. There's nothing that's going to help.
Can I just say that whole hour is the worst?
Yeah.
With the scraping and the water in my eye and the...
Yeah.
They let me control the spit thing?
Yeah.
The suction?
I'm getting better with sound effects. I have three now. If we're counting at home with the home game, I've got wind. And I did something last week.
I forget.
And now I got the dental thing.
The lady, the hygienist, has her big suction for when she's doing whatever she's doing. And I have my little, and I'm allowed to use mine when she removes the instruments from my mouth, which I want to use it all the time because I'm very moisture.
Yeah,
very,
you got a lot of saliva.
I started drooling and I'm like, I want to suction.
You're like an X-Men.
And
it's your power.
It's so weird because growing up, I never had control of anything in the dentist chair.
Yeah. Oh, God, no.
It's not enjoyable.
You know what's better, though? But when we were kids, they gave you that thing, that mold full of jelly.
They still do.
And then you bite on it. And I'm not very good with mouth closed and can't force to breathe through my nose.
Yeah. And then there's things oozing out and
disgusting
the drool.
Disgusting flavor.
And then you've got the suction thing.
Oh, you get the orange. Oh, well, whoop-de-frickin'-do. That stuff is heinous.
Your mouth is drying up because the suction thing's in between.
You know, kids have no idea how you... When I was a kid, my ma took us to the U of S to the dental program. The students who would experiment and do horrific things to us. And here's how bad it was. She would drop us off at like 10:45.
Yeah.
Come back at 12:45.
Wow.
For a filling. A filling. And I got the rubber dam. Man, if I could find the guy who made the rubber dam, I would hit him with the Havana Club.
Yeah. Not a fan of the rubber dam.
Oh, jeez. And then the bite blocker. Do you want the bite blocker? Oh, no, man. I don't because my jaw locks. And it makes me panic when you put the bite block in.
Too many things in the mouth? No good.
I can hold my mouth. I know I'm not going to chomp your finger off.
Yeah.
Just don't put the bite block in. I'm not six.
God. $300 for this cleaning. Of course, with the great benefits.
$300 for a cleaning?
That's what they charge.
No.
That's what it all comes down to. An hour of unpleasurable
$300.
So I go to pay.
Oh, my left hand's itchy. I should go buy a lottery ticket.
I go up to pay, and I know I get some benefits, and 80% covered, which is fantastic.
That's amazing.
The guy tells me, all right, you owe, he's got the invoice. You owe $61. No problem. I got that. 61. Reaching into my wallet. This is what he does next. He goes, but you know what? Folds it, throws it away.
What happened there?
It's on us. I was like,
what do you mean it's on them?
I'm like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, don't worry about it. It's early Christmas present.
They know you're a celebrity?
That's the second time he's done that for me.
What? You must be charming in
best
the chair.
Maybe dentist ever.
Holy, you got a Black Friday deal at the dentist.
I was happy about that.
It's amazing.
$61 saved.
Who cares if you didn't get on jury duty?
That's
screw
right.
You, government.
Then I went and got the haircut at the Tommy Guns.
Oh, yeah. And I noticed you're rocking some new product because I always have a pregame pee before we do the podcast. And there's some new product there.
Here's the thought.
You got the crew going.
Because it was on sale when I went, Black Friday.
And you saved money at the dentist. Why not?
It was on sale. Yeah. I thought, you know what? Might as well. Yeah. You're the experts. I'm like,
my microphone just detected. What was that?
I've got the curls. I'm like, I could use some good product.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff they use, whatever it's called. And it's probably $25.
Yeah. It's brutal.
Yeah. I tried it on the Christmas party on last weekend, and I don't know if I was satisfied with it.
You got dooted up for the
party. We'll have to review once more, but my favorite part, I am so relaxed in the hairstylist chair that I don't want to engage in small talk. Yeah. I don't want to enter. I don't even want to fake nod like I'm paying attention. I just want to zone. I zone right out, literally, because my glasses are off. I can't see anything.
Right.
So, and it's just the massaging and the shampoo smell and the...
Okay, so yeah, you get lost in the massage.
And I'm like, just keep doing it.
I wish I could take a picture of this because this is like, hang on. We're not supposed to see her face, so hide behind the microphone and just pretend this.
And then it's just like so good. And the minty of the...
Oh,
it's so fresh. It's just so relaxing. And then she goes, carries it on. I got the Christmas shopping. I got to get the boyfriend a gift. Oh, we're getting new cupboards. Oh, we're moving to a house. She was a chatty Cathy, and I'm just like, oh, lady, I don't want to say anything.
That's exactly what Sawyer said on episode one of It's a Show. He was saying, like, he doesn't want to chat when he's in the chair.
And I
don't mind chatting. I'm a chatty guy, too.
You're a talker. Yeah. I am not... I don't know. I think because I'm so relaxed that's the last thing I want to do is just think.
Yeah.
I literally just, I love it so much. Just, I'm so relaxed. So I recommend the massage.
Have you ever had the one that goes wrong, though, and they dig their nails into your, like there was something bad happened that week, and they dig their nails into your head, and oh, it's like, oh my God, this is hurt, and then pulling my hair. And,
or if the water is way too hot.
Too hot. Oh.
And they're like, is that too hot? You're like, no, it's fine.
So, yeah, because you're powerless in that chair.
you
do whatever they say. Yeah.
Because then they'll turn it off. They'll be too fucking cold.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how hard is it? You do it every day, 60 times a day. Make the temperature right.
I love it, though.
Can you tell it on your hand? Like, come on.
You didn't even want to know about the Christmas party, though.
Oh, wow. That's a tease. That was good.
Oh, boy.
Since we're teasing, let's tease Commander Hadfield, our special guest in the second half of the podcast today. He is an amazing individual, and he's going to tell us what it was like. He's going to describe in great detail what it was like to walk in space.
You can sort of see the immense depth of the Milky Way and everything that lies beyond. It's as if you're looking into the texture of the blackness of space. It's beautiful.
You're listening to It's a Show, already in progress. We can be found on iTunes, don't you know? And we are streaming on Podomatic, which no one cares about because we want you to go to iTunes.
That's the preferred method, yes.
Like us on Facebook, a little update on that.
Well, I think we have 18 likes now. That's all because of you.
Yeah, I'm very popular on the Facebook. And on the Twitter.com, we are It's a Show Pod, if you're looking for us on Twitter. And I think we got a couple of new Twitter
people. Got a few new followers, yeah, over the last couple of days. So,
yeah. Very exciting. If you're looking for some way to waste time and laugh your brains out and shake your head and go, what are these two on? Come to It's a Show. The party is here.
I got a quick update for you on ADD Steph, our friend from Regina. She said she listened to the last episode.
Absolutely. It's like you just know me already.
Right, which was episode 4?
4, Experience Regina, oddly enough. Her and her mom listened together, and she says, can't stop laughing, love it. I was like, well, that's good. That's a victory, in my opinion.
Cue the music. Play that enough. That is an amazing piece of production there.
That's my favorite.
Experience Regina. Now, you...
There goes the table hit.
The kitchen table. You teased this before about the Christmas party. Did it go horribly wrong? Because
no.
I saw a couple of tweets from there, and it looked like things were setting up to be a nice night.
Here's the thing about me and drinking. I get very tweety.
Yeah.
I get very social media when I drink a lot. I don't know why. I don't know. I think when I'm waiting in line or waiting in the cab or...
It's boring.
Or I'm bored of the song or bored of a conversation. I'll pull out the phone. Maybe I'll type something out. And I think I'm more clever when I'm intoxicated. We got to dinner about 6:15 at a local restaurant. No idea who was paying for drinks, whether I was paying for my own or whether the boss was paying for
it. It was unclear. That's not cool.
It's always unclear. But you know what? Christmas party. Who cares what's going to happen?
Yeah. You had 8 cents left from your Regina experience.
That's right. Just drinking doubles.
Doubles.
Keep them coming. Shane was
the... Fun Sparky is in town.
Shane was the server, and he's like, you know what? I'll just keep them coming. I'm like, you know what? That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And we had found out, and fast forward 3 hours later, almost 9 o'clock, don't even remember eating salad or the meal for that matter. It should be known that we got there at 6:15. Dinner was served about 7:30.
Holy moly.
Don't remember eating.
Yikes.
Then at 8:50, the boss makes the announcement. All right, everyone, I'm taking care of the tab until 9. After that, you're on your own.
Beauty.
People are starting to leave, right? So more rounds, 2 more doubles, 2 rounds of shots, and then we went to the bar.
The doubles are what kill you. They put you away, man. And yeah. I love them too. There's a sweet spot with the doubles, and then you got a guy should just have a water and then kick back to the singles. Because if you keep
I should have downgraded to the singles. That's a good point.
Yeah, because you got that sweet spot, and then you're riding the high, and then you're going, uh-oh, I am like 2 drinks away from head spins right now. Now I'm in a cab. Now I got him. Now what?
I was concerned that I was becoming that obnoxious person.
Yeah.
I find out that I was not embarrassing or obnoxious and that nobody hates me, which is great because not that I'm that kind of person, but I thought I was getting real close.
The fact that
you're
cognizant that you could be that kind of person means you're never going to be that person.
So I'm very glad that finally 3 days, 4 days later, you know, the survey says that I'm okay in everyone's books, but
and you had fun.
I had fun. We went to the bar, and I can't say anymore because
it's too much details,
but good time. So tis the season to be responsible.
I think this will dovetail nicely into an update on your love life on match.com. Let's do this.
So more
we need an intro. We need some kind of love music.
We need to hire like someone who's like a match.com update.
The love boat. Some kind of just segue piece of love music, intro-y type thing. Insert here. Okay, and here we go with an update on Sparky's love life.
Match.com update, nothing.
When we last left you, you were saving a great deal of money because you got the...
I got the...
Three for one
special. Yeah. And I've sent out, I believe I've sent out a couple messages. There's an option on there where you can wink. It's like a Facebook poke. Remember those days?
Yeah. Or what happened to the poke? Poke went by the wayside.
It's still there.
You can still poke, but no one pokes.
No.
If you get a poke, you're going, what the hell is somebody poking me for? Like, and back in the day, it was like, should I use this thing?
Yeah.
It seems too flirty.
And I think that's the whole wink thing. I don't think people wink on this match.com.
Finger guns should be an option on there.
Finger guns. No new leads, no new people. The women don't make the first move. This is what I'm finding.
Well, they're not supposed to.
Then why are they
kick it old school?
It's 2013.
Put it
equal
out there.
Rights.
So you got your profile, whatever, and so nothing comes in your inbox unless you go fishing, or how does it work? I don't know.
Well, you get daily matches, then you can go yes, no, maybe.
Okay.
So you can rate them right away. If you go yes, then you have the ability to email them right away. If you go maybe, they just kind of go into like a
waiting area.
The waiting room. So you can come back and maybe you change your mind.
Yeah. After you have the 16 doubles.
If you go no, then they're gone. Okay. They're out of here.
Okay. So and this is for the females listening. How are you rating them right off the top when they come into, it's by aesthetics only. It's by the picture.
Picture, yeah.
Yeah, that's got to be there.
My criteria is, first off, and I hope that my profile reflects this, your main profile picture should be your best, should be you.
Yeah.
And it
not you from 20 years ago.
Or not you with 20 friends, because I don't know who you are.
The other thing, too, and a female friend of mine brought this up today, because she's doing the same thing online, and guy's showing off the selfies in the mirror with
the gunshot,
showing the buys.
No.
And you're going, what is wrong with this? And there's like multiples of those on a profile.
You know your phone has the ability that you can take a selfie without having the phone showing them. You don't have to do the mirror selfie anymore.
Yeah, and you don't have to show your biceps.
Flip the camera.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Keep your shirt on, literally.
So I judge on the profile picture.
Yeah.
So if I'm hooked by the looks, then I will start to read.
What if somebody did something funny, like an old 70s with braces? It's not really them, but it's kind of like a took some creative effort to put the picture up.
I can apply creative effort.
You think you could email them and say, hey, well, do you have a real picture so we can keep this going or what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you have a group shot or if you're don't have a picture at all, I don't care. Yeah. Get out of here.
Yeah. Because you got to weed them out somehow. It's like looking for houses.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at houses, if they got no picture, screw you. I'm moving.
Yeah.
And it could that could have been the house for me. But you chose to put up the grainy, you know, house sold thing, whatever. I don't want that. I want the real. I want a lot of pictures.
The more pictures, the better.
I want a lot of angles.
You want the
best
pictures.
I want to see every room.
Yeah.
I want to see the kitchen mostly.
Yes.
What's the kitchen look like?
What does the kitchen look like? So if I approve of the photo, then I will, on Match, there's a part where it says what they're looking for.
Right.
In a match. So it's everything about height, weight,
right,
color, hair, eyes, job, kids, da 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 da.
Right.
So then I always look at the body type, because if they're looking for athletic and toned, well, I'm not your guy.
Yeah.
So then why bother, right?
That would be pretty limiting, though. I mean, like, what segment of the all we do is turn on the TV. Every news report's about obesity in Canada and all over the world.
Yeah.
So the chances of you getting athletic and blah, blah, blah are pretty slim.
And if you're athletic and toned...
See what I did there? Pretty slim.
Are you really having issues if you're athletic and toned?
No.
Can you not just go to Starbucks and find your husband there?
Do a wink and some finger guns and take home whoever you want. Yeah.
And the thing I hate the most, though, aside from the whole body thing, like, all that aside, is the income. You can request or state who you're looking for and how
these
much money.
These are mature ladies, though. They must be up into their late 30s and they're worried about money.
Like 70,000 plus? Get real.
Okay, guess well, there's that clue about Sparky's profile
guess
right
we're
there.
Not going out.
I was going to ask you that because when you turn into your neighborhood off the main street here,
mm-hmm.
right across the other side is where the rich people live, and then you're on the other side of the road. And I was going to ask you, does that even concern you at this point in your life? I mean, over there is the Anders, and over here is not the Anders.
Right.
And I'm in the same boat. So does that concern you at your tender age of 28?
What concerns me is that I'm almost 30 and nowhere near thinking about buying a house. I mean, you're going through this process probably your 20th time. Who knows? I know
and
houses.
It's painful, as painful as the first time, every time.
I know houses are not cheap. I know that much. And that's just the house itself. Like I can't even imagine the process.
The maintenance and all that. You know what? I got the guys to walk you through the process. In fact, I want to have them on. It's a show because I've bought so many and sold so many houses, and it's been so painful. These guys took my pain away for the first time in the history of us doing this. And Therese feels the same. A couple of guys. And the reason is they give a shit. And they're also astute, and they're students of the new way that people think and use technology and everything.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. It's refreshing to know that somebody's working hard on your behalf instead of, you know, I'm Dave the Wave or, you know, like realtors.
Yeah.
Man, realtors they've spent 20 years making themselves cheese balls.
They're like car salesmen.
Yeah. And there's a lot of great car salesmen out there, but they've been given a terrible name.
Yeah. So, I don't know. My dad.
End rent.
My dad's all like, oh, save money for a house. Oh, when are you going to buy a house? Oh, house. I'm like,
It just takes that one little windfall or that one job. Like, for my case, it was moving from Western Canada to Toronto on a flyer, on a fluke. And, you know, we thought we were making all this money. And then you start paying Toronto prices for having transit. But then I got this big raise for the second year of the show I was doing. And my wife was staying at home, and we wanted to start a family. So she started socking away the dough. She ended up paying off both of our student loans from college and university and put away our $5,000 we needed to buy a house in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was making only, like, at that time, I think I was making in Toronto $45,000 or whatever. And so we got into a house, and it was a struggle and everything, but we got into that first house. And did it need work? Yeah, lots of work.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. But you start building that equity.
Yeah. I feel if I wasn't single, if I had like maybe a partner or in a relationship,
you'd
I think
have
it would
that
be a
little
different
extra.
Story.
Yeah.
Because that definitely would help. I mean, life's expensive.
Life is getting more expensive every single day. And it's tough on lots of people. And we do these in our line of work. We do all these charity fundraisers and stuff. And you see it firsthand. And you or me, we're one paycheck away from the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, really.
And that's the thing about the job we're in. in the industry we're in, it could change just like that. You never know what's going to happen, right? And it's just so it's tough. Like, who doesn't want?
If you just turned into It's a Show, what a bright spot we are in your day.
I like my little apartment, but I would ditch it. I would.
Yeah.
So
my daughter and her boyfriend are looking for an apartment. So if you're ditching, let me know and we'll do the change.
This is a sweet spot.
This is the Taj Mahal for apartments.
It's not bad.
This is way cooler than any. I used to have one that was similar in layout when I was starting out in radio and stuff, but it had the nasty green shag.
Oh, yeah.
And I had so many roommates, you couldn't count them. Because we had to pay the bills.
Oh, the roommates. Done with that stage?
Yeah, that's good because you keep a clean house and I can't imagine anybody keeping up to you. We were going to talk about flyers when we came into the thing. Look at this. This is a good deal. I like this. The iTunes $50 gift card and you only pay $39.99.
What is this all about?
Yeah, we've taken advantage of this in Christmases past, the missus and I. Grand opening celebration. They always do this, these companies. Grand opening celebration. It's not even in our city.
You got very excited when you picked it up. You're like, ooh, grand opening. I'm like, huh?
Celebrating our newest store in Regina, Saskatchewan. So they, and then they have the savings passed on to everyone. So they can have a good sale. But $39.99 for a $50 iTunes gift card, that's pretty damn good.
That's a couple of gift things I got to get for my siblings is the iTunes gift cards.
Boom.
They're all about the iTunes, as they should be.
The Costco's has always got the deals there, too.
See,
the Costco's.
I'm not a member. I'm not a member of the cult.
Ours expired. We go there once a year, and it's usually at Christmas time.
Can you go in without having a membership, or do you need the card?
They check your idea. Like, it's like NASA there. Like, I don't know what the big deal
it's
is.
It's very...
Like, so what? If I don't have a card going in, can't you look? We should do that and tape it on our iPhones and try and sneak into Costco without a card.
Like, can't I just walk
like
in?
Like a caper.
Browse?
Yeah, because I know to buy, I got to show my card, so I got to go sign up for the card at the thing.
And that makes sense. Like,
are you stopping me?
Yeah.
And you know what the greatest job in the world is, let's be honest, is the checkout lady at the Costco past the checkout?
Yes.
Where she does the... checks you with the highlighter and just runs the highlighter down that bill. And you know, if you're OCD and you like highlighters, that's a great freaking job. They don't do anything. Just stand there.
My favorite, even better than that, is the person at the Walmart at the end. Supposed to check things that aren't in bags, right?
Oh, yeah. You mean the greeter guy? The external greeter, the outro.
The outro, yeah, that guy.
We'll have to pause It's a Show because of a call from one of my children. What can I do for you, Emma?
Oh, aren't we all?
What, are you hungry?
Yes, I didn't know you were busy. I'm at home now.
How'd the work go?
Good.
So are you going to get promoted?
I don't know, not till I'm 18.
You know, we're moving, right? So we sold our house. Well, we think we're moving because we haven't heard back from financing whether it's gone through yet or not.
So you could potentially be homeless.
Could be a period of homelessness. So that's why I always eye this apartment lovingly when I come over and go, we could crash in here quite handily. Oh, it'd be a little different for you. Sleeping in the broom closet, but so obviously the missus and I have to take the master. So then I'm thinking about the pantry and I'm going, well, we should stop buying food and we should just eat all of this bean product that we have in here. We got every kind of pinto brown maple bean you can imagine, but we never eat it.
Nothing is worse when it comes to moving than moving the entire dry goods. And you've got sauces and creams of this and squashed that. And you're like, why do I have... why am I moving it from house to house to house?
I would describe the nightmare about moving a family of six to you, but you're going to experience it firsthand in a month. So it'll be fun. Yeah.
Oh.
As part of the crew. Like, it's a honorarium. You know, co-workers help each other out.
Oh, I'm happen to be a professional at moving, so...
Yeah, exactly. Radio guys are the best movers because they know if we put our heads down and we just... pretend it's over and we just keep on going over and over and over. Yeah. Then we get the pizza and the beer and we can say, yeah, help the buddy and it's all over.
So. My move from the last city to this current city, I want to say 80% of the loading myself.
Yeah.
Because good help is hard to find.
Yeah. Especially when you're moving.
Yeah.
You got more likelihood of finding somebody to help you murder someone else probably. Than you do a move. Like,
and then if you owe a move...
Yeah.
Like your buddy comes and helps you move, and they're like, ah, now you owe me a move.
That's
like,
hanging on you all the time. Oh, the owe you a move is terrible.
And they think helping you move in a couch is considered. I'm like, no.
No, no, no.
I want the full move.
Yeah.
So.
And there's so much more to it than the couch. I'm actually thinking about hiring the pros for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Because we have a piano, for frick's sake. Ooh. A piano.
Does it get played?
Yeah, Emma, who just called, is the and she plays by ear.
Oh.
Yeah, this is how much talent, obviously genetic, goes through. And she just plays all the time, and she plays beautifully. And now Ava, our littlest, is starting to play piano just by what Emma's teaching her. So it's fun.
Beautiful. Well, at least it's not a useless piano.
Yeah, it's...
I have relatives who have useless pianos.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a house. My sister took piano lessons for like a couple of years, whatever I want to say. And then it just sat in the living room the whole time. All right. Now we better look at the agenda to see. Oh, I got tinsel in my mouth from the decorations on the mic stands. Ladies and gentlemen, we've concluded our thoughts and feelings for this episode, but don't go anywhere because now we've got the Canadian icon, the legendary Commander Chris Hadfield. He wrote a book.
I have the book, I think, right here.
And the new book is out. It's a New York Times bestseller.
We got to get a better chair, man. My butt is asleep again.
New York Times bestseller will make a great Christmas gift and an excellent stocking stuffer. Look at that hardcover. Chris Hadfield.
An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth. Okay, so we got to take a picture of this for the Facebook. We said earlier, if you forgot about it or missed it, that he knows like 7 to 9 different languages. In fact, he was doing a keynote thing in Calgary, and he did a whole segment of it in Russian. Like, can you imagine? Like, a man speaks Russian. Oh, look at bonus inside the book. A lifesaver.
Is that come with the book?
Like, yeah, I don't know. That's within there. That's awesome. And now, ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned for an out-of-this-world interview.
Everything humans know of our planet, we were told, had been shared. You lied to us.
Thank you for calling Sheraton Cavalier. Petra speaking.
Hi, could we have Commander Hadfield, please?
Absolutely. One moment, please.
Hi, this is Helena.
Hi, this is Greg calling for the Commander.
Hi, Greg. This is Helena Hadfield. He is unfortunately running 2 minutes late.
Are you his long-suffering wife?
I am his long-suffering wife, yes.
Being the family at home and seeing the entire world hang on every tweet and every word that your husband either utters or sings, because he loves to sing in public.
He does.
Yeah. What did that feel like?
It was great. It was just such a delight to see everybody in sharing in his joy, and that's what it was. It was his joy coming through.
This journey was a long time in coming. I mean, he's been preparing for this for his entire life.
He has. And when he was named commander, it was amazing.
He's like James Bond.
I know, except without the extreme danger fighting, like people throwing bad hats.
Yeah, she's talking about Odd Job. One of the most heinous Bond villains ever. Oh, this is so nice to speak with you. And I was wondering about you as I was going through the book and wondering what your perspective was, having such a famous husband and somebody who risked his life, like the other astronauts, to go up there. And I mean, just the description of how the rocket ship takes off and how when they're coming back to Earth, what kind of a jarring physical event that is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a lot like raising kids, I imagine.
Yeah. Actually, I think it's easier to have your husband go into space than raise kids.
You know, I heard him on CBC yesterday, and he was offering up some parental advice, which I thought was very well grounded. He said when you guys used to take the kids when they were little to a restaurant, he would have a briefing.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd just say, basically, let's just go over the rules. Here's how it's going to roll. And no screaming, no running around, you know.
No screaming, no crying, no running around.
Be consistent.
Yeah.
Don't be their friend, be their parent. And that's the toughest thing, especially when they get to be teenagers and they're a little bit more worldly and think they're more worldly than they are. And
yeah, and think that they know way more than you do.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice. The pompous of love.
Where did you two meet?
We met in high school.
In what grade?
I was 14, just about to turn 15, and so, I don't know, I guess I was in grade 10, and he was in grade 12.
And he had the mustache then, so that was the thing.
He didn't quite have the mustache then, but he rocks the mustache. I like it.
Yeah, a lot of people like it.
Well, I mean, when you've got such a famous mustache, I have to tell you that when we had the, when we have a mustache on a stick that we designed as a fun thing for the flight, and when we got the design for it, it looked so Ned Flanders. And so he was like, I don't see feel Ned Flanders. Is it really Ned Flanders? And I'm like, and he's like, I feel like more Tom Selleck. So I went back to the designer and said, can you add a little Tom into the Ned? And then we got the perfect Chris Hadfield mustache.
I would like to start a Twitter account on the mustache's behalf.
I think that would be awesome. He just walked in the room, so I will hand you over, but it's been a delight speaking with you.
It was a pleasure to meet you.
You also. Bye-bye.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, It's a Show proudly presents Mrs. Hadfield's Spousal Unit.
Space, the final frontier.
Good morning.
I feel like I know a lot about you already, having spoken with Mrs. Hadfield at great length.
Well, you went straight to the source.
You want to know something about a guy? I talked to his wife.
Exactly right.
Commander Hadfield, I'm going to start the interview by reading the back of your brand new book, Chris Hadfield, An Astronaut's Guide to Life.
On Earth.
Before my first spacewalk, I knew I was on the verge of even rarer beauty, to drift outside, fully immersed in the spectacle of the universe, while holding onto a spaceship orbiting Earth at 17,500 miles per hour. It was a moment I'd been dreaming of and working toward most of my life. But poised on the edge of the sublime, I faced a somewhat ridiculous dilemma. How best to get out there? The hatch was small and circular, but with all my tools strapped to my chest and a huge pack of oxygen tanks and electronics strapped onto my back, I was square. Square astronaut, round hole. Best thing I've read in a long, long time.
Yeah, it's kind of a dilemma.
How did you solve it? Did you Vaseline up, or how did you get out of there?
Well, you do it really carefully and methodically, and it's weird doing it in weightlessness because things don't behave intuitively. You know, everything's floating and getting stuck, and wires get wrapped around your legs, and so you really need to be sort of step-by-step and methodical and pull yourself out into the universe without getting yourself all in a big tangle and embarrassing your first majestic float out into the spacewalk.
See, in my case, I'd say, oh, no, we can't do it. I can't get out there. I can't get out because I don't want to be floating in the middle of space. You crazy man.
It is the most fundamentally beautiful place I've ever been in my life, to be in the universe. Normally, we're used to seeing the universe above our heads, but on a spacewalk, the universe is below you and beside you and around you, and the Earth is just sort of in the distance, turning and majestic over to one side. But it's an amazing feeling to be immersed in the universe alone, and a perspective that I've never gotten any other way. It's magnificent.
Can you always see Earth when you're up there?
Yeah, even we go around the world 16 times a day, and even in the pitch black of night, the Earth sort of glows a little bit like the Northern Lights. There's always a faint glow to the atmosphere, even when you're over the deepest Pacific, where there's not one human light anywhere. You can still see the faint glow of the world just because of a little bit of electric activity with the sun and the atmosphere. So yeah, it sometimes it's just a looming dark presence, but it never goes away.
What does space look like?
When you look into the depth of space for Madeline, it goes on forever, and there's no atmosphere in the way. So especially when you're out on a spacewalk, so you just have the glass of your visor, and it's so black and deep that it has dimension to it. It has texture to it. You can sort of see the immense depth of the Milky Way and everything that lies beyond. It's as if you're looking into the texture of the blackness of space. It's beautiful. Hi, this is Commander Chris Hadfield.
Space, the final frontier.
You can sort of see the immense depth of the Milky Way and everything that lies beyond. It's as if you're looking into the texture of the blackness of space. It's beautiful.
Those words just scare me. They really frighten me because, I mean, I just can't imagine having that perspective with nothing to hold you and ground you. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're literally out there on a string.
Yeah, we have like a clothesline attached to us just in case you lost your grip so you wouldn't go drifting off, and then they'd have to like name things after you.
Okay, you brought up the movie Gravity. Let's talk. Let's discuss.
What'd you think? Did you like it?
You know, I haven't seen it. I know that you reported earlier in the news that the underwear was totally wrong.
Yeah, well, I mean, Sandra Bullock looked great in the movie. And
your wife is right there, sir.
Yeah, I know. Well, she did. Sandra Bullock looked great in the movie. And when we come out of our spacesuits, you know, after Sandra pulled out of her spacewalk, she She was wearing this lovely skin-tight Lycra kind of little boy underwear outfit. And when we come out of our spacesuit, we're wearing this enormous liquid cooling garment and diapers, and our hair is a wreck. And so it was really nice in the movie, but now we are not nearly so photogenic when we're pulling ourselves out of our spacesuit. But it's a good movie, and millions of people have watched it and liked it. The visuals in it, when she said it was sort of disorienting, the visuals are really, really good, better than any movie ever made. If you want to see what it looks like to be out on a spacewalk, the technicians who made that movie did a great job.
We are so lucky this week on It's a Show to have Commander Chris Hadfield, who is now an author. He's got a new book out, and we're talking about it today. We're talking about the movies, and Sandra Bullock got involved, and also the book.
The book is Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth. It is a bestseller. It is available now wherever you get your books, in person or on the digital format.
Dedicated to his beautiful wife, and for good reason. We met her off the top of the interview, and just an extraordinary woman. And let's get back to Chris and talk about the secrets of life.
Everything humans know of our planet, we were told, had been shared. You lied to us.
You know, when I was 9, I wanted to walk on the moon. I still haven't walked on the moon, but I don't consider myself a failure.
How do you live with yourself?
It's terrible. How do I look in the mirror every morning?
Some people call me the space cowboy. Some people call me Maurice.
People call him a space cowboy, codename Maurice. Definitely has the Marlboro Man mustache to match.
Yeah.
And coming up with Commander Hadfield, the three secrets to becoming an astronaut.
You want the three secrets?
Yes.
They're really not secrets, but they are good guidelines. And number one is keep your body in shape. You only get one, and it doesn't take some crazy effort. It's just little small decisions each day. Keep your body in shape. Number two is get an advanced education that challenges you. Get an education where you really kind of have to stretch your mind to work at it and understand it in an area that interests you. And then the third thing is make decisions and stick with them. Making decisions is a perishable skill, and it's easy to drift through life and say, I just don't want to decide. I'll let things randomly happen. But then your life just becomes a random collection of things, and you'll end up somewhere that you may hate. Keep your body in shape, get an advanced education, and make decisions and stick with them. You'll get good at making decisions. And with those three things, you will have a better path through life regardless, and you might even end up commanding a spaceship.
We want to say thank you very much for your time here today and your beautiful spouse's time.
Thanks.
It was an incredible conversation, and we know you got a lot on your plate, and we appreciate you picking up the phone.
My pleasure. I got breakfast on my plate right now. So nice to speak with you.
I could go for some breakfast.
Funny too. He's funny too. Did I forget to mention?
Cool guy, Chris Hadfield, An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth. I love that David Bowie video that he did.
It was so, to the wall. Like so all the, everything he does is all the way up. And I mean, that took coordination and talent. And he's got his own band, right? He plays weddings, bar mitzvahs, whatever. You can get him the gig.
We should hire him.
Yeah, we should hire him.
Play for the...
It's a Show Year rap party or something.
Yeah, or the anniversary party, so...
And we never talked about if we're going on a hiatus or how many episodes we're going to do a year. How does that work?
Hiatus?
Are we going to be like a good Netflix series where we have a cliffhanger? We should do that.
Isn't the good cliffhanger called Christmas?
My left hand was itchy, now my left heel.
You better buy a lottery ticket, so... Make sure you do that.
Okay, I'm going to buy a lottery ticket, and I'll report back on my winnings or lack thereof. And you please get your father to check his tickets, because he buys 100 and never checks them.
That's right. So meanwhile, while you're buying your lottery ticket, make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes. Search for it on the iTunes. Join us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
And when you do, please make a comment like, for example, I love the interview with Chris Hadfield. Please do more stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or please stop talking so much. Or enough about Sparky's pathetic dating life on whatever.
It's very sad.
Yeah. It's a sad thing. And we don't want to bring you down. So, I wish I could say call us, but we don't have a toll free. But maybe in the future, you know?
You never know.
Ring those phones and let's get some budget going.
The good thing is that I do get the odd text from some friends. Now, I don't know if they're being nice because they're my friends.
Yeah.
But also, they never visit, so maybe they're not my friends at all.
My son says he likes every episode, but he's waiting for me to get him an Xbox One.
That's right. So do us a favor. Make a comment on Facebook. You can even rate us on iTunes. Give us a few stars
there. Yeah, we got to get the rating going. There's a podcast, another podcast in this town, And it's rated. It's like a 3.5, 4 star rating.
There's no way.
I don't even care about being rated if that's a 5-star. I don't even know.
We are on iTunes. That's all that matters. We have over 200 downloads. We're very popular in Winnipeg for some reason, but we love you nonetheless.
Our new goal is if we get 150 subscribers, /downloads in a single episode,
yeah,
then Sparky's going to play the trumpet.
That's right. So yes,
we're going back in time to the high school band.
Until then, keep in touch.
Her name was Lola. She was a showgirl with yellow feathers in her
hair. This is where I insert the clip.
Yeah, sure. Insert something. Hello. Hello. Hi. Yeah, yeah, you are. Hey, everybody, meet Emma. Okay, we don't have time to hook up the special technology, so you just talk to everybody on the thing. So what?
No, I did not.
We're at 43 without the commander. So you got to make a couple of minor edits where you screwed up. Obviously, I was flawless.
It's probably about 3 minutes.
Yeah. Please make a comment. Blah, blah, blah. I got this.